Hey guys, welcome back to the No Holds Barred Network with another episode of Indie Talks. I'm your host as always, the EVP of Giggles, the Heartbreak Chick, the Queen of the Indies herself, Tiffany. And it's been a while, so you guys seen all three of these guys before on the No Holds Barred Network, so I'm really excited about this to talk about some wrestling. So we have Rob from Bob Culture Podcast. How are you?
Hey, Queen of the Indies, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here with Mr. Corvus. We have some history. Always a pleasure rocking that very, very comfortable Eric Corvus t-shirt. Get it now. Chris, it's an honor to meet you for the first time. Queen of the Indies, it's always a pleasure to be with you. I know I am not yet the prince or king of the Indies, but as I'm told, I am the court jester of the Indies. Still an honor to be here.
He always does that. You're a mess.
True. That's
fair. We'll get back into that. And we have returning guest Chris from DDT Archives. How are you?
I am great, Tiff. Thank you for having me. I am going to torment you as absolutely always. It is my job to make you absolutely insane. I too have plenty of history with Mr. Corvus. He goes way back with my little brother. He used to like to drop him on his head back in the day, which I find nice and entertaining. And my brother does say hello, by the way. He was over the house before. So what's going on? And it's a pleasure to meet you as well, Rob. You actually were playing the drums right in front of me at a recent show that shall not be named. So, you know, we have actually met before, but this is the first time actually talking.
Yes.
Gotcha, man.
Yeah. And of course, would it be a panel with predictions without bringing on a wrestler? So we had to pick instantly. I thought of Eric Corvus and we had to get him on here because it's been a while. So how are you? How's it going?
I'm doing all right. It's weird. Like, I'm the wrestler of the group, but I feel like you guys all have like way longer intros than I'm going to give myself. Hey, I'm Eric Corvus and I'm going to wrestle this weekend.
I love it. Yeah, so I miss all you guys. It's been a while. Actually, this was Chris's idea to do this prediction panel. We're going to talk everything about Tony Deppin's Bear Hoss show. Lots of things going on here. I mean, of course, Eric's working the show, so how fun would it be to have a chat? I love doing these panels. So, yeah. So what do you think, guys? You guys excited for all this going on this weekend? Big weekend.
I guess.
Stoked.
I'm excited for the show the most, obviously. I think I've been pushing out a lot more about this show than any other show that's been going on for the week. But Mania Week's going on between IWTV Collection, and then we have GCW with Fight TV going. There's a lot of wrestling. A lot. So, oof. I don't know. So, where would you guys like to start with all of this? Go ahead, Chris.
You guys are the podcast people, so I'll follow.
You know, I'm gonna give it to Chris because of the fact that, like I said, this was Chris's idea to do this podcast. So I would like to know, where would you like to start?
So, I mean, first and foremost, I think before anything, all credit needs to go out to Tom and Tony for jumping up and stepping up and making sure this show happened first and foremost, right? Like, short notice, made sure everybody that was booked on the original show got put on this card, got the opportunity to get down there and an opportunity to work the show, right? So before we even talk about a match, the fact that these two guys made this happen and busted their ass to do it the way that they did when they didn't have to, right? At the end of the day, Tony took a huge risk, right? He's not working this show whatsoever.
Right.
He's there as a fan and to sit at the table to make sure everything runs smoothly. Like, he was on my show last night. We released it today. He's there to enjoy it and to make sure that it runs smooth.
Right.
This is about making sure that that next generation of guys gets their opportunity. And that was important to him. And it speaks volumes to the character of them. And the other piece you know, obviously this was an ugly situation. And the fact that for every stream that this show gets, and people may not know, every stream, there's a donation going out for victims of child sex abuse in the state of New Jersey. So that's near and dear to this situation that this comes out of. So that's fantastic. And if you're not watching the show, stream the show anyway.
Yeah.
On every damn TV you have. So that's just, before we even talk about a match, I wanted to make sure we got that out there for everybody. Yeah,
definitely. It's
So now, Tag, Rob, you pick the first match to talk about.
I'll definitely pick the first match. I just want to echo those sentiments real quick, man. And thank you for saying that. You guys, thank you for putting this together. As I've learned in life way too many times that I'd like to admit, man, you get blindsided by things, but often we turn a negative into a positive. And this is great. You know, shout to Thomas, shout to Tony for putting this thing together. Again, taking a negative situation, making a positive, getting our friends down to Tampa, making this show happen in some form or fashion with that charitable aspect that you mentioned, Chris. Guys, I don't know if someone can post the link in the comments. Let's get that. You got it. She's on it.
I just did.
let's move the needle. Let's move the needle on this thing. You know, I know my guys got some donations coming, and that's not a plug. I'm just saying, guys, let's get the needle moving on this thing. This is a great job by Thomas Fenton and, of course, Tony Deppen for a really, really great show. And should I get into the match real quick?
Well, actually, before we get into any matches, you know, I'd love to hear never mind the fact that's like, of course, that I talked about it last night. I had Tom on, me and Tom talked about, you know, everything behind this. You know, thank you, Tom, for allowing, you know, our favorite wrestlers to have the same thing with Tony. Thank you so much for having this. I was talking about how I felt like I kind of lost a home and that I've made great friends. And even like Eric here, like that we chat, and you know, I've become very close with, I've met Chris, you know, like I met Rob. It's you know, even all the other people that I've met in person and at the shows, and even the wrestlers and the relationships that I have, it's like dear to my heart. So this show obviously is also very special to me also, that we still get to get this. This card is stacked. I love it. But Eric, I mean, like, you know, this whole thing, like, what are your thoughts with this whole show, with everything that's happened with here, and, you know, what's going to happen, and, you know, going down to Florida, all that fun stuff.
Well, I mean, like, it's doing our best to make a weird situation and a difficult situation into something positive. That's all. Right. That's really all it is. Like, Tony and Tom are good people. And they saw an opportunity to help out their friends. They saw an opportunity to still give the fans what they were excited for. Because at the end of the day, like it's not Voldemort. Like, synergy did exist. All right. Like, we know that. And like, everybody has an emotional connection with the relationships they made there. And the matches that some of my proudest matches of all time took place there.
Right.
You know, there's still so much positive energy that surrounds what that product brought to the table for all of us being able to move forward. I don't want that to get brushed under.
Absolutely.
You know, like, because so much positivity did come from it, and we're just rolling with that positivity.
Right.
Like, the last thing that we wanted to see, and that Tony wanted to see, or Tom wanted to see, is a bunch of dudes lose work.
Yeah.
Because there were some guys going down where that show was going to be the only WrestleMania weekend booking that they had,
right?
You know, and if this didn't come about, some guys wouldn't even get to have this experience.
Right.
Like, I'm lucky because I have a relationship with Beyond Wrestling as well. So I have two things coming up. So I would have had a backup. Some guys didn't,
right?
You know, and we just really need to get everybody to hop on this train, because there was so much support for the wrestlers when all of this stuff went down.
Yeah.
But the second that GoFundMe went up, it didn't seem like as much of the support that we had initially carried over into still trying to take care of the guys. Like, of course, there's a bunch of people have donated, but like Rob said, man, we got to get that needle moving.
Yeah.
We have to make sure that this show is taken care of and that these guys are taken care of, because we were dealt a shitty hand, and we're going all in anyway on the shitty hand. And I personally think we're going to break the bank and we're going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
I think that Beer House is going to be one of the top three shows that people come out of this week really, really talking about, because these guys are fired up that this show is taking place just for them. Every single one of the other shows, WrestleMania week, was going to take place regardless.
Right.
This wasn't. This is a second chance. This is a show that's being put on just for the boys to take care of them. So that changes our mindset going into this. We have to make doing this show worth it. We have to make doing this show worth the GoFundMe, worth watching it, worth buying a ticket to, worth putting it on at all in the first place, because they didn't have to. So I'm fired up, and I know the rest of the roster is going to be super fired up to prove that we deserve this show to happen, regardless of what the fuck went down in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the three of us as podcasters, I think we can all vouch for it. We've done a lot of behind the scenes. We've had personal relationships with wrestlers, and we know how hard you guys work. And, you know, like I always say, like, I can't thank you guys enough for everything that you do and that you entertain us and our love for the sport and the art of it. So that's why we do all these podcasts, and, you know, we're really excited about it. Obviously, we're all behind this. And yeah, guys, donate. And, you know, I can't stress enough that the money is going to go towards the funds of the wrestlers that are going to work. You know, you guys don't have to worry about that. We can all vouch for that, because I know sometimes that's a concern from people as well. So,
yeah. And here's the thing is Tony is straight up said he's not taking any pay for this show. So he's doing this and not taking any of the money for himself. And two, if, say, we do meet our goal, and even if we go over it, that same exact charity that Chris was talking about before, any overages will go right to that. The boys aren't going to make a bonus if we make more money. We're making our money, and the rest is going to that same charity. So you don't have to worry. This show is going to take care of a lot of people.
It's great. So who wants to pick the first match? Let's break down this card. We got a lot of announcements right before this podcast. There's a lot of things. A shout out to Matt Vertigo. You know, I'm sorry that you know, unfortunately he's got COVID now. Prayers to you. We love you, you know, but there will always be opportunity, and we'll always support you around here. You're one of our favorites. So he was going to come on the podcast with us too tonight. So I'm sorry, like, this all happened, you know, we'll get you back on the podcast, obviously. So, yeah. So Rob, you want to pick the first, match you want to talk about?
Yeah, sure. I'm honored. And again, really great job by you guys addressing the situation. Everyone, again, please donate. And of course, you know, we're going to start with our girl here, Tiff. You know the deal. Recently announced match, Avia Everett taking on Kay Slay Katal. An amazing match. This is going to be phenomenal. You already know who I'm picking. Both these competitors, no strangers to intergender competition, no strangers to hardcore, being rough around the edges matches. This could be a low-key show stealer right now. I'm excited for this one. We know our girl's coming out on top. Casey Katal.
Ooh, love it. Chris?
This is going to be as hard-hitting as women's match gets, and I'm excited for it. It's one thing that I really haven't seen Casey do is wrestle another woman. I've seen Casey in there with just about everybody. I've seen Casey in there with deathmatch performers. I haven't seen Casey work another woman, so I am very excited for this. If Everett's a fantastic performer, I can't wait to see where this goes. I think it's going to be a real knockdown, drag out match. Obviously, Casey's a good friend of mine. I'm never going to pick against Casey. You know, I think it's going to be exciting. You know, Casey is one of the first people to see pics of my unborn son. So, you know, pick is Casey, of course.
Oh, Love it. Love it. Love it. So I'm going to say, obviously, I'm biased. Casey's one of my closest friends. I love her to death. And Ava's really freaking good. This is like both a match, I think, that are going to be really good for both their careers, to be honest with you. And Ava's been killing it over in Limitless. And oh, my goodness, like this is a match you just don't sleep on. You know, so
one thing I want to add, mm-hmm. I want, unless there's a DVN run in, in which case Casey might be in trouble.
Oh, oh, but just like you said, like I'm not going to pick against my girl.
Not saying it would end fairly. I'm just saying there's a run in and it's 2-on-1 that could get ugly.
I Rob knows, of all people, you don't bet against your friends, right, Rob?
Yes,
I echo at all. I'm just saying. I hope Casey better have that kendo stick under the ring. Be prepared, Casey. Bring the kendo stick.
Oh, K for Casey and kendo stick. That's how it goes. Eric, what do you think about this?
All right, so I'm gonna try to be unlike the biased panel.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That very we fair. Have here, and take a few other things into consideration, because I just feel that, like, because Ava Everett is New England based,
right?
You guys might not be as familiar with her work as Casey, because Casey was killing it, and almost every show you guys were at, Casey was there,
right,
killing. But Ava took a very similar path, like up in Limitless, and then for Beyond Wrestling, yeah, when they were doing the Uncharted Territory, yeah, stuff, Ava Everett was in there with just as many guys,
yeah,
doing just as many violent matches. It's just maybe a lot of people didn't see it at the time.
Right.
But I think they're way more equal than people are giving Ava Everett credit for. But Casey Catal, keep in mind, originally she was coming into this show as a champion. And that's where I'm going to put my opinion on, because she was rocking and rolling, man. She had all the momentum in the world, and she was ready to come into Tampa as a champion.
Right.
Now she doesn't get to perform as a champion, and that has to piss her the fuck off. And there's one thing more dangerous than Casey Catal, and that's a pissed off Casey Catal. So I will go with Casey, but not as much of a margin as I think you guys. Plus, I don't think Casey makes the best decision, seeing that she is married to Brandon Kirk.
Oh! The shots are starting already.
I'm so uncomfortable right now.
Damn, the salt. Let me get some salt in the chat right now. Seriously.
Happy birthday, Brandon.
Yes, Brandon's birthday just passed this past weekend. And Casey's birthday is Friday. So if you guys are going, go give her some love for her dirty 30, as I like to call it. Dirty 30. But Eric, I agree with you. Like, Ava's really good. I've seen her actually live a few times. I think I've even seen her at CZW. Live before, and I've seen her in intergender matches as well. She's good. She's badass. That's why I said this is gonna be a really, you know, I'm really excited for this match. I think it's gonna be one of the best for both their careers, honestly. So
I agree.
Go ahead, Chris, pick the next match.
All right, so I tweeted this one out yesterday. You got the most hyped young stud on the independent scene in Nolan Edward, and you have the self-proclaimed most slept on young guy on the independent scene, TJ Crawford, and both have unreal talent, no doubt in my mind. You got TJ with the chip on his shoulder, and Nolan just keeps on rolling, right? And Nolan's got his backers everywhere. And all he just keeps doing is proving people right. And TJ just keeps finding ways to continue to put that chip back on his shoulder. And it's really weird to me, because I don't think anybody else doesn't see the talent in him. I think everybody sees the talent in him. And everybody's just trying to remind him to kind of just be patient, that it will come to him. And he just wants to keep putting the chip back on his shoulder. So this really has the potential to be an absolute barn burner of a match. And I think in a lot of ways, this is a measuring stick match for TJ, because this is an opportunity for him to prove to himself more than anybody else that he is as good as he thinks he is. And I stress that he thinks he is, because if he truly believes he's as good as he is, then he wouldn't have to continually put the chip on his shoulder. Mm. Because I'm literally sitting here rocking the TJ Crawford shirt. And you know, Tiff, you've been on panels with me before.
Yeah.
I am to the point of a TJ Crawford apologist. I think TJ Crawford is one of the most gifted professional wrestlers in the world. If he just has his head screwed on straight when he comes into the ring, his talent alone will get the job done. He just doesn't always get his mind right. And if he comes into this with his mind right, he takes care of business without a doubt in my mind, because Nolan Edward is beatable.
Ooh. Damn. Well, there you have it. Eric, what do you think about this?
Well, as a wrestler, the first place that I'm always going to go when I'm judging competition is experience. Nolan has a little bit more experience than TJ Crawford. So that's checkmark number one. I'm a lot more familiar with Crawford's work, but I have watched some of Nolan's stuff. And I think that there are going to be some of the craziest counter wrestling that we see at Beer House in that match. Because I think both of these guys are coming with something to prove. TJ Crawford goes into almost every single match, like Chris was saying, with a chip on his shoulder, feeling like he has to prove himself. Where if he could just step back, get out of his head for a second and look at himself, he'll know that he's good enough. But you'll see in every TJ Crawford match where he starts to question himself slightly. And if he questions himself for even a second in the ring with a guy like Nolan, then he's going to get put down. And I don't think Crawford is at the point where he doesn't question himself yet. Ooh. So I'm going to have to give this nod to Nolan.
Ooh, Rob?
I'll echo the sentiments of the other gentlemen, and no disrespect to Nolan Edwards, who is one of the bigger names on the independents, but to echo those sentiments of having a chip on TJ Crawford's shoulder. The only chip I have on my shoulder is usually a Cool Ranch Dorito, but I digress. I
that
think
goes in
that,
your mouth.
Oh, okay.
That goes in your mouth, not here.
It's when I eat a thing. But anyway, I apologize. But I think TJ, first of all, cannot have a bad match. I have never seen TJ Crawford have a bad match. This is another potential show stealer. TJ having that chip on his shoulder, like we mentioned, TJ sometimes getting in his own head. Sometimes in certain points of the match, you do see TJ getting frustrated more often than not in his matches. But that being said, I think this may be a statement win and a big time win in the career of TJ Crawford. Even though he is a Chicago Bulls fan, I am going with TJ on this one.
Ooh, okay, I love it. Melissa said Robin puns in the chat, just so you know.
I got you.
So this is a very hard pick for me. I love them both. They're both incredible in the ring, both faves, okay? Rob, you got me saying faves all the time, by the way, just so you know.
Better than boyfriends.
Or husbands. My husband's list, like, seriously. And I've had TJ and Nolan on the podcast. I just had Nolan on last week. He's incredible. He just turned 23. We were talking about all the matches that he has lined up, and I don't know if this is going to play a factor into it. He's got 10 matches. 10. I don't know if anybody's ever wrestled that many times during the collective, but shit. But, wow. Oh, my God. So, like, is that going to impact him a little bit? He's a little beast. He's on his way up. Like, he's really, really good, and I'm really looking forward to this match. This is one of my favorite matches that I'm actually looking forward to watch. This is a hard pick for me because I can see it going either way. So, and I agree with all you guys. Shit, I don't even know what to pick. I don't even have picks.
She stumped on the second match.
I am stumped. This is a hard match to call because, again, they're both, like, I feel like in their prime right now. Like, they're just so good. Someone's going to hate me either way.
WWMD. WWMD.
I hate you. and then shout out to Nolan because Nolan was just talking the other day about having RSD and I have it too. And I give him so much credit, living with a condition and wrestling. So shout out to him because I just live every day with RSD. So for him to be wrestling and doing this shit, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to go with Nolan because I really don't know who to go with here because they're both incredible. This was a hard pick for me, honestly. So
I was getting ready to play some Academy Awards walk-off music.
I hate you. All right, Eric, you could pick the next match now.
All right, well, instead of my own match, mm-hmm. I am going to talk about the JD Drake and Jordan Oliver match.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to talk about this specifically because me and Jordan had a heart-to-heart conversation well over a year ago, maybe even 2 years ago, where he talked about his goal of being one of the top heavyweights in professional wrestling. Now, if you knew Jordan Oliver years ago, you would have never been able to picture that. This dude was a twig. He was one of the best lightweights out. But, man, he set his mind to something, and Jordan is a heavyweight now. Yeah. You see him rocking those heavyweight matches in MLW. You see him trying to really, like, grind his teeth in the heavyweight division. And JD Drake is one of the best big men out there right now. You see him every week on AEW Dark or Elevation. Hell, this week he's making his Dynamite debut. And Jordan Oliver, that's a huge, huge mountain to climb for somebody that is just getting used to being a heavyweight. But maybe I'll be Tiffany here and I'll just sit here and I can't figure out. We did see JD Drake perform in Synergy in the past.
Right.
We saw him tear it up. We know what he's capable of. We know what Jordan Oliver's capable of. Just like I said about Casey before, she was getting ready to come into this show as a champion.
Right.
So was Jordan. And this was a title defense where he was really going to solidify himself as a heavyweight champion. And I still think in his head, he needs to do that for himself. But like Tiffany said before about Nolan, Jordan Oliver has like 10 matches over the Showcase of the Independence and the Collective.
Right.
So dude's going to be pretty, pretty tired by noon on Saturday. So if Jordan Oliver's body is still what it needs to be and he's not too beat up, I think that Jordan Oliver is going to figure out a way to win this match. Ooh. However, if too much gets taken out of him on Thursday and Friday, and you're in the ring with a heavyweight veteran like JD Drake, he's going to fuck you up. Mm. So if Jordan Oliver's good, I'm going with Jordan Oliver. If he's hurt, I'm going with JD Drake.
Ooh, okay. Okay. Rob, thoughts?
Really well said, Mr. Corvus, as always. You have JO versus JD in this one. I remember years ago seeing Jordan Oliver come out to Hanson chants, and now he's definitely bulked up and is killing it. You know, heavyweight material, championship material, as we've seen. JD Drake, as Eric mentioned, AEW Dark, AEW Dynamite, we've seen him in Evolve, WWN, again, gold around the waist constantly. We've seen him on the network. He's been great all over the place. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to get the win, though. This is the hardest match for me to choose out of all of them. This has been the hardest one for me. I think Corvus kind of swayed me a little bit in this one. That meant that championship mentality that he mentioned for Jordan Oliver, I think, is going to give him that edge in this match. and this is going to be another statement match. This is a statement win for Jordan Oliver.
Ooh, I like it. Chris?
I'm going to pull a Tiffany cop-out answer. And the winner for this match is going to be the fans.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the reality of this is the fans need to enjoy this match. Because if I'm a betting man, and let's be real, if you look at my DraftKings account, you will realize I very much am. The reality is neither of these men are going to be on the independent scene next year at this time. They're both going to be signed somewhere by this time next year.
I 100% agree with you on that. Definitely.
Regardless of what company it is, they're going to be somewhere full time this time next year, and rightfully so. They're going to put on a hard hitting match. I'm not concerned about Jordan Oliver having 10 matches over the course of it. The dude went 2 hours with Tony Deppen and looked like he could go a third if needed.
That's so, 2 hours with one guy, though. That's 2 hours of the same game plan. This is 10 different game plans.
Agreed. But my point being, I'm not as concerned as if it was somebody else. If, you know, there are people that would be like, you're 100% right. Him, it doesn't scare me as much as other people. Right. That would be an immediate 90% of wrestlers out there. I would 100% be like, yep, done. You're right. Him, it's not an immediate write-off. He has worked so damn hard. And when Greg and I interviewed him, you have an expectation when you think Jordan Oliver, when you've seen him on TV, you have this expectation of what you think you're going to get from Jordan Oliver. When you actually sit down and you talk to him, it is nothing like the persona that he is as a professional wrestler. He is the most driven and determined young man I have ever talked to.
And respectful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All he wants to do is be the best ever. Period. Like, legitimately, that's it. He wants to put his city on the map for the right reasons and wants to be known as the greatest to ever come out of it and make it better. And there is something that is absolutely incredible about that. And knowing where he comes from, I am 1,000% behind him. And I believe that he is going to come into this weekend knowing that he has those 10 matches and his cardio will be even more prepared than he was for Fight Forever. So that part, he'll be ready.
Wow.
JD Drake is always ready. Yeah. That dude's a beast. Right? I mean, his tag partner was Anthony Henry. There's no cardio in the game better than Anthony Henry. There's a reason that dude's in NXT now. Right? Like, that dude's incredible. And JD Drake's could go step for step with Anthony Henry. He may not have the body like Anthony Henry, but he could go with him. There's a reason why they were best friends and workhorsemen. It's going to be fun. I do think Jordan Oliver will find a way to get through it with the victory. He'll that determination, it's second to none. He'll find a way. Maybe it includes somebody like Ellis Taylor helping him out. Ooh. Young, dumb, and broke finds a way to get it done. But at the end of the day, Jordan Oliver kind of needs it a little bit more to get a little bit over the top. But also, this is that weekend for him to shine. This is his opportunity. All bright lights to get that young guy that big opportunity. And I think this show is that spotlight for him, because we'll talk about it at the end, but this show is different from every other show this weekend for a lot of reasons.
Awesome, man. This, all I know is I feel sorry for Jordan Oliver's chest. That's all I know, is that Those chops are insane from JD Drake. So I'm sorry. So you better take some, you better have some ice, some Advil, Jordan, like seriously. But I love these two. And you're right. It's not a cop-out because the fans do win for this match. This is going to be an incredible match. Again, I'd be happy either way. But I feel like Jordan Oliver's always been the underdog for me because of the fact that I feel like he grew insanely on me, that he's gotten so much better. And you're right. I think this is his weekend to shine. So with that being said, I'm actually going to pick Jordan Oliver to win this one. So, all right. So let's move on to another match. I'm going to pick the next match. We're going to pick Ace Austin and Braden Lee. So me personally, I talked about this with Tom last night. I'm not very familiar with Braden Lee. And Tom started talking about how once this weekend happens that everybody's going to know who he is. So I'm really excited to see him in the ring. And I know how incredible Ace Austin is. And I talked about the match that he had with Jordan Oliver and just incredible. So unfortunately for me, I'm going to have to go by default for Ace Austin here because of the fact that I'm not familiar with Braden Lee. So that's my thought process right now I'm going to go with. So I'm copping out a little bit. So I'm sorry, but I'd love to hear what you guys think about it. Chris, you want to start us off with that?
So you're familiar with Ace Austin, correct?
Yes.
So then you're familiar with Braden Lee because he is a younger Ace Austin.
Oh, even better.
Like Ace Austin is young, right? Braden Lee is literally just has not had the light shined on him yet. I became familiar with him at Fight Forever. Hadn't really seen much of his work at all before it. He can go. His motor is phenomenal. He is exciting. He does a little bit of everything. I think a lot of his matches have been with young, talented guys like himself. And we actually had the talk last night with Tony. A lot of the biggest things I've seen watching IWTV is you see a lot of young and hungry wrestlers in the ring with each other, and they have really fun matches. But what you're missing is it's almost like playing a sport. Like, I coached football for almost 20 years, and if you don't play next to an all-star and you're a very good player and you play with very good players, you cap yourself at a very good player level. If you don't work next to an all-star, you don't know how to get to that next level of being even better. When he steps in the ring with somebody like Ace Austin and he learns those little nuances in the ring of how to mesh little things together, how not necessarily changing the moves done, but maybe the order in which to do them to maximize little things, this dude is going to absolutely excel. Oof. So I think Ace is going to win the match, but I think in the end, Braden could win the weekend. Because what's going to come out of this is in the next year after this, he is going to become a household name.
Ooh.
Because of this match. Because he will come out with the knowledge to become that next breakout star. He is that talented.
Awesome. Rob?
I mean, grab your air sickness bags because this one's going to be amazing. I mean, Ace Austin, his resume speaks for itself. Super X Cup tournament winner, multiple time X Division champion, having great feuds with the likes of Jordan Oliver, just show stealing match after show stealing match. His offense is so innovative and creative, the likes of maybe like an RVD, but not, a lot of that springboard mid rope backwards offense that I'm all about. He's just amazing and great. And I know Braden Lee, obviously more so through riding that wave and reputation right now. A lot of people want Braden Lee right now on the indies. To echo what Chris said, he is upcoming. He is going to learn a lot from Ace Austin in this match. But Ace Austin, I mean, this is his match. I mean, Braden Lee will learn a lot here. It's going to be a great match. But like I said, grab your air sickness bags because this is going to be off the hook. Ace Austin wins.
Oof. Love it. Eric, love to hear your thoughts.
So the first thing that I think of when I think of Ace Austin is clean speed. That's normally how he wins. He's quicker than almost every single person that he's in the ring with. Braden has some speed. Braden can counter that. Ace Austin is the veteran in this match. Braden has not been around as long as Ace Austin has. But I think that Braden can utilize this to his advantage because there's a ton of tape for Braden to watch on Ace Austin. Ace Austin might not be able to find as many things out there about Braden Lee. And because he's newer, he hasn't fully developed what his style is. And when somebody doesn't have a fully developed style, they're extremely difficult to prepare for. Because sometimes as a newer wrestler, you don't even know what you're going to do yet because you don't have your formula down yet. So everything is kind of trial and error when you're new. But here, I honestly think that Ace Austin is going to come into this and not necessarily take Braden as seriously as he did a Jordan Oliver, somebody like that. I think Ace Austin is going to come into this match and be like, I'm going to do a bunch of my stuff. I'm going to get myself over, and this kid is just going to fall by the wayside. And I think Braden can use that to his advantage. I think Braden is going to get a shock victory over Ace Austin because Ace Austin's not going to be coming into this match thinking he's going to have to try as hard as he does with everyone.
Oh, wow. Great thought process there. See, I love hearing like on your end, because obviously like we're still fans over here. So it's nice to get your input on being a wrestler. So that's awesome. Wow.
That's what I'm here for.
Oof. All right. Well, you go ahead. Pick the next match. What do you want to talk about next?
I guess I don't want to procrastinate any longer. Let's just chat about my match because I'm here and I need to put my own shit over. But I'll pick that match. But I'm very curious as to your guys' thought processes before hearing me talk.
Okay, go ahead, Rob. Why don't you start it off?
I mean, of course, it's going to be Eric Corvus, end of conversation.
Just because I'm here, doesn't mean that that's what I expect.
No, I know you well enough to know that, sir. And real talk, so before we get into it, there's no elimination, right? This is just six-man?
Yep, just single elimination as far as I'm aware.
Okay, so just like that. At the end of the day, you know, I always think about who's kind of riding that wave right now. And obviously a lot of people have had some downtime with COVID and winter time and all that stuff. So we're getting back into action. We're getting back down to Tampa. I look at this this match. There's a lot of good names in here. A lot of faves. You know, I'll try not to be biased. Whisper is always fantastic. You know, Joey Silver, too sweet. I got to go. And no disrespect, Mr. Corvus, the guy who's been riding this wave right now. We mentioned him earlier on the podcast. Gotta go Ellis Taylor, who's red hot right now. This is his match to lose.
Ooh, wow. Okay. Chris?
All right. So I think the easy way out would be to go the guys we're familiar with, right? Like,
right.
It would be easier to immediately go to Eric, to go to Whisper, to go to Ellis, to go to Joey Silver. The guy that jumped out to me, who I wasn't familiar with beforehand, is the guy that cut the video on Tony Deppen to the Eminem video.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like,
Jared Evans, yeah.
Jared Evans, instead of dropping in his DMs and begging like every person on the face of the planet, gets creative to find his way into this match. To me, that just shows how hungry he is to get a spot this weekend, right? So that tells me a lot. And that makes it interesting for me. Obviously, Joey Silver just had a really awesome opportunity heading down to the Nightmare Factory. Love Joey Silver busting his ass, getting himself opportunity after opportunity. Ellis Taylor is just one of the most underrated, hardworking guys, right? May not be the most likable guy character-wise, but just, again, works hard. Cole Radrick, another guy that just, he's so everywhere, yeah. Right? We talk about Nolan gets the accolades. Cole Radrick is around just as much. Doesn't get nearly the accolades that Nolan does. Doesn't do the deathmatch side of stuff, but Cole Radrick is everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the piece. And Eric, please allow me to kiss your ass a little bit. And this has nothing to do with is coming whether you were here or not. You've busted your ass for a real long time in this business. And I've known you for, if you pull down your pants, I'm going to stop talking. I've known you for a real long time, right? Like, longer than I've known anybody else in this group, like legit since like 05, 06 is when I met you, when my brother was training with you. You've worked your tail off and you don't know how many more of these opportunities you're legitimately going to get. I think you're going to come in with something to prove because you know these opportunities are going to be few and far between because you're wrapping it up. And at the end of the day, you are thankful for these opportunities, but you want to prove something. You don't want to be just the trainer for LSG as much as you love that. And we've had that conversation and how proud you are to watch your guys go out and prove how good they are. And you take a ton of pride in that, and as well you should. You want to prove that you're an amazing wrestler as well, because you are. And I think this is your opportunity to do that, and I think you're going to.
Love it.
I'm picking Eric.
Love it. This is a hard match. Melissa's in the chat. Melissa said this is the hardest one to make a prediction on because I feel like everybody's got something to prove in this match, and everybody's going to work their darn hardest. Ellis Taylor has been coming out. People been sleeping on him, and I think he's starting to make his, you know, proving. Whisper has been making his waves as well. And of course, like, the first time I saw Eric was in a six-way at Dropkick Depression with the Whisper, which is pretty funny. So I always go back to that. And I think Cole Roderick is another one that a lot of people are sleeping on, but he's so good. And I'm not really familiar with Jared Evans, so I'm excited. But I agree with Chris on this as well, that I love what he did on Twitter. Because all promoters always say, right, that everybody's always in the DMs and the DMs are blowing up when somebody's out, especially now with this weekend. Somebody's in the DMs bothering the promoter. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know. Cop it out again. I don't know. Eric, you were sad that when I threw the streamer at you the last show and you're like, I don't deserve streamers. So you know what? I am going to go with Eric because of the fact that he's going to come back and he's going to, I don't know. I'm just lost for words here. Eric's going to win this one. Like, seriously, I just feel it.
I feel like a jerk now. Everyone.
Listen, I appreciate the sentiment, but like, and I respect Chris and Tiffany, but like, I kind of feel that like me being right in your face can't not have an effect on how you feel about it, or our personal relationships, you know, because like you, like Chris, like you've known me, like you said, since 05, 06. Tiffany, you and I got like really close really quick, especially like with the podcast and stuff. Like, with Tiffany and Rob, I opened up a lot, and Chris on your own individual podcast. And I think originally when I did make this return, Chris nailed it on the head. I just wanted to have a nice little last run that I could be proud of.
Right.
You know, but then I started getting down on myself towards the end of last year. I started like letting that depression seep in again. So when you guys did last see me on January 2nd at that show, how I was in the ring was very close to how I was feeling mentally in real life. I had been the heaviest I ever was. I was 270 pounds on January 2nd. And I was so disappointed in myself and really had some introspection and realized I don't just want to have a last run. Like, I'm 36. That is not that fucking old in wrestling years. I've had 1,453 matches in an almost 20-year career, and I have no chronic pain. My knees don't hurt. My hips don't hurt. My shoulder doesn't hurt. My neck doesn't hurt. My back doesn't hurt. What other dude that has been wrestling that long and had that many matches at my age could say that they feel as good as I do? This weekend was the motivation that I needed to give myself a kick in the ass. You're going to see me on Saturday, and you're going to see an Eric Corvus that is 30 pounds lighter than the last time you saw him. You're going to see an Eric Corvus that got sick of his hair, so he just cut all it off. Because I'm sick of it. Because I'm sick of trying to be somebody that I'm not. I need to be me. And I'm going into this match to be me. I'm going into this match to show everybody that I am one of the best wrestlers out there, that I deserve opportunities to be in there with the best people. And that's what the six man is. They're the best people from so many different genres of what wrestling is. Cole Ratterick, Whisper, Jared, Ellis Taylor, Joey Silk. These are all guys that I'm actually familiar with. I've beaten Whisper twice in multi-man matches already. I've beaten Joey Silk. I know Ellis Taylor. I know Ellis Taylor since he started with Jordan Oliver. And listen, man, that kid has a bad fucking attitude. And I'm going to smack that bad attitude out of his face. He's going to be young, dumb, and broken after this match. I think me and Cole Ratterick, I think our styles are going to mesh really well. And I think we're going to put together some really cool stuff. Joey Silver's coming into this match with a completely different type of motivation. This is his first week training at the Nightmare Factory. So you know he's coming into Saturday to show everybody that he's ready to take that next step. Like Chris said, Jared did everything he could to get his ass on this show. He succeeded. Good for him. Good for him. But he's going to be really disappointed when he doesn't win. All of those guys want to win this match. They want to be highlighted during a weekend that the world is watching professional wrestling. All five of them want to win. I need to fucking win. I need it to prove it to myself that I didn't just spend 3 months of my life losing 30 pounds and eating healthy and getting my body right to fail. I can't. This is my last opportunity to show the world that Eric Corvus is a good goddamn wrestler. That Eric Corvus deserves to get flown out places, that Eric Corvus deserves to get brought into indie companies and be put against their best. Because that's when I'm going to be my best. I don't want to wrestle down. I want to wrestle up. I want to wrestle guys at my level and higher. Nobody's coming into this match more motivated than me. And I think in no matter what sport you're in, whatever competition you're in, if you're more motivated and you have more of a desire to win than other people, then you're going to. Plain and simple. And I don't care who these five guys are. They're not taking that away from me. So I'm going to pick me because if I don't, I don't know where the fuck we go from here.
The day you pick against yourself, that's the day you hang it up.
Yeah,
exactly.
I agree with that. Oof, man, it's gonna be really good. I'm really excited. Again, and you're right. Like I feel like, you know, a lot of people on this card we've developed really close relationships with, so it's hard. But I think that's also what makes it so exciting, you know, for this entire show. So I'm looking forward to it. Chris, you want to pick our next match?
Sure. Heather Monroe, Billy Starks was dropped on our show last night. And I am so excited for this match. So Greg and I became familiar with Heather Monroe right around this time last year. Heather was one of our first interviews. She actually, we credit her with really helping. She was one of the first to help us develop our format of not talking about wrestling on a wrestling podcast. We talked about true crime with her for half of our wrestling podcast, and that kind of started paving the way. For ditching talking about wrestling with wrestlers. And she's an incredible performer and can't be more excited for her to be getting opportunities. Talk about somebody that really was on fire leading up until COVID. She was out in California. COVID absolutely shut down the West Coast, right? And all of us being East Coast people, you don't look, we got shut down too out here, but not the same way. Like, there's an East Coast bias in sports. There is definitely an East Coast bias in professional wrestling too, right? Especially you think about the flights and when they're cut down, companies aren't flying West Coast wrestlers out for shows because when there's limited flights, those flights all of a sudden become three times, four times the cost. So you're not getting flown out anymore. So you're talking about somebody whose opportunities kind of got very limited. And so I am very excited to see her get these opportunities again, to see her back, hopefully very quickly rising back to the top, because when you get the opportunity to see her, and I don't know how familiar you guys are with her, but she is one of the top women in independent wrestling. She is that good. There's a reason why she and Taya Valkyrie are best friends. She is that damn good. Billy Starks is obviously one of the top names. You know, 15-year-old on fire. You know, the running joke is I can't have her on my podcast because I'm a teacher and she's 15, and obviously conflict of interest. You know, my principal finds out I interview a 15-year-old at 10 p.m. at night. That'll raise some questions, just for obvious reasons. Can't interview high school students. It's just a real deal. Like, just is. With that, Billy Starks is an incredible performer. I think this is going to be amazing. Pick is definitely going to be Heather Monroe, just the experience factor, but it is going to be fantastic. Really cannot wait for it. And I'm excited to hear your takes on this too, especially if you're not familiar with Heather afterwards, because I think you're in for a really cool experience.
Awesome. Rob?
You know, as a commentator and a journalist, I always try to be very impartial, man. But can I change my pick to Corvus for the last one? I'm joking. I'm popping out. But that, seriously, again, you know, the best promos. It's not even a promo. Come from real life. That was real life, man. And that's all heart. And I see the fire going into that match. And that's made me think a little bit. But I will be impartial. I won't change my pick. But I have all the faith in you, Mr. Corvus. I really, really do. But I digress. Let's get into this match. Heather Monroe, as you mentioned, I was not as familiar with as most of the other competitors on this card, and no disrespect whatsoever. I did my homework watching some of the matches going into this one. I also watched several Billy Starks matches where she's had wins over the likes of a Shotzi Blackheart, NXT Women's Tag Team Champion. I think that was in 2019. I like Billy Starks a lot, a prodigy. Right, another one that's riding that wave of momentum right now. Blue hair, don't care. She's going to win this one.
Yeah. I've had Billy recently on the Under the Rope series on No Holds Barred Network. I love her. That's why I had to get her on here, because just even her love for it, and she's just cute and adorable, and like she's just a little badass in the ring. So I can only imagine like 5 years from now of where she's going to be and the people that she's been training with. And then like I just love how like Mouse always like says, "Oh, book my kid." Pretty much. And then I always ask now, because Nolan talked about the road donuts, so now I'm always asking Mouse for the photos. But to see that she's always, you know, focused on school, that she said she's gonna finish school, that this is what she's gonna do, and her love for wrestling, and that she's there, she's committed, I just see it. And that's like, I feel that I have this special connection with her, that I just feel that she's so special in the ring. I'm not as familiar with Heather, but oh my goodness, like this, I'm excited to see Heather. And this is what I love about shows, when I don't know people and then I get to see them in matches with people that I am familiar with. So oof. But I'm gonna go with my girl Billy, because how can I go against my little girl over there? So Eric, what do you got?
All right, so normally when I break down matches, the first thing that I always look at, and you guys know this, is experience. However, you can have as much experience as you want, but if you're not doing what you're experienced at for a year, you're not going to be as good at it as you were beforehand. The most important thing in pro wrestling is reps, the amount of times you train and the amount of times that you wrestle, because that's how you get better. Unfortunately, during this time, Heather's been stuck. She hasn't been able to get those reps. Billy Stark has. Billy Stark's the type of person that a lot of wrestlers hate, because they get so good so young. And somebody that young has no right being that good of a professional wrestler. But she's out there killing it. She's out there getting her reps. Unfortunately, I don't think Heather's experience is going to work towards her advantage this time, just because Billy Starks is out there doing it. It's fresh. She's getting those reps in. Heather hasn't been as much. So I have to give the nod to Billy Stark for that particular reason.
Ooh, love it. Love it. Let's talk about another match that was just announced. Yesterday we were talking about the Daniel Garcia Open Challenge. And then we saw John Alba put on Twitter. And then I was messing with him and I was like, oh, are you going to be like picking the opponent here? And I didn't see this one coming, and I should have seen it coming, with a.k.a. Muff Cabbage, a.k.a. one of my list of husbands, the root of all evil, Mr. Charles Mason. Let me just start off by saying this, like, I am in total shock of this match, and I know this is going to be a show-stealer match, because these two are incredible in the ring. I've been a fan for Mason for years. Daniel Garcia is great, just won the Limitless Championship. He's just been making waves again all over the place. He's so good. JT Dunn's been on the podcast and has talked such great things also about Daniel Garcia. But this is a hard one. You know what? I'm going to pick... I'm sorry, Muff Cabbage, but I'm going with Garcia here, because I know, right? Rob's face just said it all, that he's actually shocked that I went with Daniel Garcia. I don't know, like, when it comes to, they're both very talented, and I can't take that away from either one of them, and this is going to be a killer match completely. I think this is going to be the match of the night, to be honest with you. So Garcia is my pick. Chris, you want to go for it next?
So, first off, I'm amazed that Charles Mason hasn't been kicked off social media again yet.
You're right.
So everybody knows I do enjoy Charles Mason. He's absolutely blown up over the last 9 or 10 months. Talk about a guy that every time he steps in the ring, he just gets better. Unfortunately for me, every time he gets better, he no longer responds to DMs. He is
just absolutely ghosted every time I message him now. He just has really become the root of all evil, and I guess I'm, you know, I'm just poor. I spent all my money on toys, as you can see behind me. So I'm no longer good enough to talk to Charles Mason. So in the spirit of that, I hope Daniel Garcia just technically takes him apart. I do feel that Charles Mason finds a way to get his hands around his throat. I see Garcia winning this, but I see it by disqualification. I see a way that Charles Mason gets himself disqualified by taking things too far. I don't know why. I just see him just pushing the limits as he has gone off the deep end little by little. He can't control these urges anymore. And I see this weekend being a breaking point for Charles Mason, and he's either leaving in handcuffs or a straitjacket.
By the way, Matt Vertigo's in the chat. He says, love you guys. Hope the whisper whoops love, Eric's bro. Ass.
This motherfucker.
Come on, well. Vertigo. We don't need to see any more Eric ass.
Yeah, we saw that earlier, just so you know.
I didn't take my pants off.
Why can't I see more of the chat? The last thing I see is you dropping the GoFundMe link.
Because that's between Facebook, Twitch, Periscope, and I'm watching everything.
Yeah, I don't have all that stuff. That's fancy now.
We're fancy over here. Anyway, Eric, your thoughts about this?
Dude, Daniel Garcia just won this Limitless Championship, yeah. Right? The whole point of this is him going out there and showing everybody that he is the champion. And limitless is a really good word to describe what Daniel Garcia is. Man, he is so good at so many different aspects of professional wrestling. But the thing that he's the best at is knocking people the fuck out, man. He has some of the most vicious strikes in professional wrestling. And there is probably not one face I would like to see get knocked around more than Charles Mason's. I mean, if you guys recall, the last time you saw me in a ring, I was tapping out to Charles Mason. It was a triple threat match between he, myself, and Too Hot Steve Scott. And I was already in my own head. I was already pretty depressed. And when you're in there in the ring with a sociopath, they can smell anxiety. They can smell angst. And he took full advantage of that. And I'll give you a little insider baseball. If things didn't come crashing down, that's where I was headed next. I was headed for Charles Mason because he made me feel like less of a person. And nobody likes to feel that. But as much as I would like to see Daniel Garcia jack Charles Mason up, I agree with Chris. I think this is his breaking point this weekend. He's not gotten his way for a long time, Charles Mason. And I think he's going to think he's not going to get his way one more time, and that's going to be one time too many. And he's going to fly off the handle. And I don't think that just Daniel Garcia is going to be in danger because I think any fan that's there ringside is in danger. I think the guys that share a locker room with Charles Mason are in danger. I think production is in danger. When you book a guy like Charles Mason, you have to know that you're taking a risk, that you're bringing a liability into the locker room, and that you need to be ready for something bad to happen. And I don't think that this match, I think this match is going to be great. But I don't think this match is going to leave anyone feeling good afterwards.
So, two things. Matt Vertigo said, I'm buying the stream. He said, I don't care who beats his ass. I'm buying the stream to watch someone do it. So, just so you know.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Vertigo could sit at home on his ass and eat some snacks and watch the real wrestlers.
Oh,
oh man. I'm so uncomfortable
right
now. And
the second thing is Mason's in the chat, and he said you are worth less than a person.
Yeah, well, your lucky things went down in flames in Synergy, or I would have shoved my foot so far up your ass that maybe it would have changed you into a nicer person. And you could pass this along to Vertigo, Tiffany. See this championship right here? This is the one I beat Vertigo for last year. Oh. So you could send that message along to him.
Damn. Salt. That wound, it's cut. Throw some salt in that wound.
Salt Bay.
Rob's like, I'm so confused.
I'm so glad you threw it.
This is why Rob doesn't do live podcasts, because these are the things that goes on in my podcast, is that the wrestlers come in and talk shit. So just also, so you know.
So glad that the wrestlers we're talking about are in the chat, and so glad they're on the panel with us. But I'll call it right down the middle here. Chris, first of all, I'm so sorry that Mr. Charles Mason is big timing you right now. In my experience, that usually means big things are going on. You know, when our friends kind of disappear, hopefully that means good things are happening, or he just doesn't like you. It could be that as well.
Listen, it is what it is. I understand. I mean, some people are just more important than me. I enjoy my toys, so I spent my money well.
There you go. But you know, I am a fan of the real life Montana Max, as I call him, for anyone who watches Tiny Toons. I'm aging myself, but Charles Mason has been absolutely killing it. But before I get into the match, can we talk about this John Alba announcement, which was phenomenal? Yes. Really good job. First of all, John Alba always kills it. Shout to him. We'll never miss an opportunity to flash his Emmy, and I'm teasing him on that. And I get it, bro. I totally get it. You know, 2020 Pro Wrestling Contribution Award, just saying, not quite an Emmy, but you will EGOT one day, Mr. Alba. He plays a great guitar as well. And best 5 o'clock shadow in the business. Really looking good over there, Mr. Alba. But I was excited for this announcement. Do you have Daniel Garcia, who I see a lot of, you know, I always hate comparing guys, but I do see some Brian Danielson comparisons, and he's just been killing it really, really good. But Charles Mason is riding that wave too. He's been, like you said, a show stealer. I think, Tiff, you were the one who said that this match might be match of the night right here. This could be the show stealer. This is a tough choice for me. Oh gosh, I'm never getting this guy on my podcast now. I'm picking against him, but I am a fan. This guy's been killing it in and outside of the ring in every form and fashion. But I'm going to go Daniel Garcia to win on this one.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Charles.
Don't apologize to him.
Well,
he would
screw you.
He can't be mad because he doesn't know how to experience true emotion.
Listen, he like freaking, you know, all those videos on Twitter that he was posted up and choking out the girl in the pool and all that crazy stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, you mean filmed murder? Yeah, great.
Rob, when you wake up castrated in the morning, you know why.
You know what? It wouldn't be the first time someone got mad at me for being an impartial journalist.
Wouldn't be the first time you've been castrated?
No.
How are we finding out?
Yikes. It wouldn't be the first time that someone's mad at me for being an impartial journalist, but it comes with the territory, I guess.
Let's move on and let's talk about Simon Grimm and Brandon Kirk. Corvus, why don't you start us off with this one?
Oh boy.
Oh, yeah, because I love Brandon Kirk.
I know you do.
So much. Listen, regardless of how I feel about the guy, I still messaged him happy birthday the other day.
Aww.
And I still told him, regardless of how I feel about you, I'm going to buy you a birthday beer at some point during the weekend. All right. Yeah. So I am a human being. But man, this is probably stylistically the biggest clash in style on the entire show. Like Kirk and Simon are complete polar opposites when it comes to human beings and when it comes to in-ring work. The difference is that Brandon Kirk has been begging for this match for so long, and he's finally getting it. Whereas, like, in Simon's life, like, Brandon Kirk isn't even a blip on his radar. You know, like Kirk made a t-shirt for this match. He got a lot of hype behind it. And Simon Grimm is just like, yeah, okay, I guess I'll come. So I think that Kirk is going to get jacked the fuck up at this match, because Simon Grimm is so much better of a technical wrestler and grappler than Kirk. And that's probably the thing that Kirk has the least defense against in wrestling. Like, Kirk could go strike for strike with some people. We know Kirk can do the deathmatch stuff. Kirk has some awesome power moves too. And he knows how to talk and get in your head. But when it comes to getting on the mat and rolling around and taking a body part, Simon Grimm beats him every day of the week. And I think if Simon could get him on the mat, Kirk's done. Kirk's done. And it's going to be the most definitive showing of, you get what you asked for, man. You begged for this. Is it really going to turn out the way you thought it was? I don't think so. So I'm going to have to go get, and this is me putting my biases aside for Kirk, like my personal feelings against him to the side. I just think that's, I mean, and think about what Simon's doing earlier in the week, man. He's coming off a blood sport and stuff like that, man. Like, that's the type of match that he's going to want to have at Beer House. And I don't think Kirk is going to be strong enough to change the game on Simon that much. So I think Simon's going to win. And I think specifically, we haven't been doing this, I think Simon's going to tap Kirk out.
Whoa.
Ooh, there you have it. Let me pause here for a second, because Tom just sent me a tweet that Tony put out. If I somehow hit halfway goal mark, I'll pay every single person on the show more than they ask for. Even if 200 people show up, the show is 100% about them and getting money in their pockets. So please, guys, donate.
Do it now.
Yeah, do it now. Like, Tom talked about it on the podcast yesterday, that it'll be open, that even it would be better by tomorrow, I think he had said, but even if the money still rolls in by like Saturday, that everybody will still get paid, but the sooner the better, so they can pay the workers. So guys, make sure you donate for that.
Yeah, for sure. I would definitely like to make more money. That's nice.
Yes. Rob, where do you want to go with this?
Oh man, well, Kirk's wanted this match for a very, very long time. And Simon, you know, he's not one to bite his tongue. You know, if you've seen any interviews with him, he's, I don't want to say a perfectionist, but he cares about the art that is professional wrestling. He doesn't hold back when he's talking about other people that he has worked with. That being said, I don't think Kirk taps here. I think I'm gonna go the other way. I think Kirk actually gets the victory here in a hard fought battle, because he's wanted this so long. And I think there's a reason he wanted this. He has a game plan here. He's been scouting this guy. This is a main event caliber match right here for this. And I think Brandon Kirk gets a W here.
Well, I thought I liked you.
Dude, you're my guy, man. I'm sorry, man. I'm calling it like it is, bro. Eric's not going to talk to me anymore ever.
Brandon Kirk's in the chat. He said, anyone else remember that time I knocked out the mat mechanic?
Yikes.
Listen, man, I can't take you. I can't deny that. Kirk beat me. Kirk legit knocked me out in the middle of the ring. But I'm not Simon Grimm. And we weren't having a mat-based technical grapple fest, brother.
Oh, damn. Chris?
So uncomfortable. Well, so uncomfortable.
With Brandon in the chat, does that mean Tiffany fucked up his stream for a second time?
I was trying to help him out. Shut up, okay? Guys, go make sure you give some love over to Brandon on his Twitch, okay, guys? Like, go give
happy
him some
birthday,
love.
Bud. Yes. Happy birthday.
Listen, man, that's actually apropos, because I think that's what Kirk is going to be doing after his match with Simon Grimm, and that's twitching.
Oh, my God.
So I have to give love to Greg, because he brings up this point on our show. He brought it up with Tony. Is there a better build than watching the Twitter feud between Simon and Brandon. Their meme game might even be better than the fisticuffs itself. Their back and forth has been incredible, like this entire buildup. It makes my morning every morning. On top of that, Brandon is a tough motherfucker. There's no way in hell Brandon's going to tap. Now, that being said, I agree with you that Simon's technical prowess, if he gets Brandon to the mat, is superior. Simon's incredible like that. Watch his matches at Bloodsport, without a doubt, right? Like, he, in this case, I think he does take it to Brandon, especially with the way Brandon's pushed things to the limits with him, calling him out over and over and over until he got this. With that being said, Brandon doesn't tap. I'm just concerned that my friend winds up going to sleep. And I hope I'm wrong. You know, you got Rob telling how it might be. I'm scared I'm telling like it is. Ooh. I got Simon putting Brandon to sleep.
Oh, I'd be fine with that too. Oh, maybe I should be even more fine with that to see him get his ass knocked out after he knocked me
out. Damn. And now he's talking shit in the chat to me that he says the mic was cutting out every time she comes in, my stream shits out. Well, you know what? Just for that, now I have to pick against you. Okay. I was hoping, I was going to sit here and I was going to say that I hope you win by a jackknife pin because it's like one of my favorite things that Brandon does. It's like the most cleanest pin, like you don't really see it too much, but I love his jackknife pin, and like I was talking about that with Casey this weekend. So now, because you're giving me shit in the chat, okay, I'm gonna go with Simon, and I am not bringing you any more cookies.
How weird is it to talk with your best friend about her husband's jackknife pin?
I'm sure she's experienced it herself.
Oh God! All right, I think we should.
So
we should move on.
I love that I could just see Rob's butthole clenching through his face.
I try to keep it professional. I try.
Rob, you clearly haven't met me enough yet.
it's an honor.
Man, listen, I was.
But is it? We're sending you to therapy after tonight, aren't we?
I've had enough.
I don't even know how Rob deals with me. Never mind you, okay? Like, and he hasn't sat by you. All I had to see was Chris at one of the last shows with his mask on, right? And I just saw his facial expressions because of the people that were sitting close by me. And just that was killing me. Like, I was just dying just from his facial expression. So, I don't know how Rob deals with me either.
All the love.
So we have one more match, right? We have Tank and versus Manders, and this is going to be a Haas fight. You know what? Rob, start us off.
Haas fight, like you mentioned, reinforced the ring on this one. Mm-hmm. Kind of have experience versus kind of like that rough around the edges. Did a little homework going into this one. I'm actually going to go Manders on this one, kind of outsmarting and getting the win here versus the experience on the other side.
Ooh, okay. I love it. Chris?
So just hearing the backstory last night of how this came together, that Tank and Tony Deppen have such a deep respect for each other, and Manders just kind of right place, right time. Came together when Tony told him what he wanted to do. He jumped at the opportunity. I think this will be an interesting one. It's a clashing of styles, but Manders is black and brave trained. You know, he's just a tough Iowa boy, a cowboy, and He's going to need every ounce of that tough guy in him because Tank's going to bring it, but Manders is going to walk away with that win.
Ooh. I don't know. And then Tom talked about on the podcast last night that he said Tank doesn't come out of retirement for just like anybody. But again, like he kept saying, reinforce the ring, all this. I don't know. This one's a tough one for me, too. Manders has been all over the place recently as well. So I don't know. You know what? I'm actually going to go with Tank here. I don't know. Something's just telling me to go with Tank. So we're going to go with that. Eric?
Listen, man, I'm just surprised that this match is taking place in Florida and not Idaho, because that's all this match is going to be is potatoes. They're just going to be punching each other in the face over and over and over again. And I don't think you necessarily need to reinforce the ring, because I don't know how long the match is going to stay just confined to the ring, man. Like, this is a show called Beer House. It's taking place in a brewery.
Yeah.
And these guys are coming knowing that they're not coming for a wrestling match. They're coming for a bar fight. There's going to be a room of drunken people, and it's just going to be like one dude hit on the other dude's girlfriend in the wrong bar, and they're just going to be throwing bombs. There's going to be nothing technical about this match. There's going to be nothing pretty about this match. You're just going to see two meaty men slapping meat, just punching each other in the face and kick each other in the face over and over again. And Chris, I see you making a weird face. That's actually a line I stole from Big E Langston on the New Day podcast. But that's what this match is going to be, man. Two meaty men slapping meat. And I think, like, Tank doesn't come around very often, and I don't think he wants to be coming around to lose. So I'm going to go with Tank.
Ooh. Why do I have this, like, feeling that, like, you keep saying, like, throwing meat, and I just keep thinking, like, smacking steak in each other's face.
So two
like
meaty men slapping meat coming around. Got it.
Listen, man, not everything needs to be a double entendre.
Listen, I was legit talking about, like, a ribeye.
Everything you say. Got it.
Like, a ribeye, smacking each other with it. Like, I'm all for this. Listen, I'm so open to, like, whatever we're going to see in wrestling. I'm down for somebody to start smacking each other with freaking, you know, actual ribeye steak. So, I'm here for it. So,
I guess we're not doing phrasing.
What? yeah. What's it called? So, main event candles. I know Tom had talked about it last night that they're having a beer scented candle going on. That's pretty cool. Like, so I feel like I'm going to have to like pick this up. So shout out to you guys. Yeah. So we went through the entire card, right? Yeah. We got everything right. Maybe there'll be some surprises. Maybe not. Eric, do you know, is there going to be a replacement for Vertigo?
I'm honestly not sure yet.
I think they announced it before. Give me one second. Pretty sure they did.
Vertigo versus Myron Reed originally.
Right.
It was Myron Reed against, hold on, they did, Tony dropped it before.
Oh,
he did?
I missed it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
I think Tony dropped it, not the Beer House link. So give me one sec.
Yeah, because I know he said to give him some time, but I thought that there, I didn't see anything for it.
That's the group I'm not a part of. I'm the lower tier, so I did not get that information.
That's a quick turnaround for a replacement, though. I mean, like, we only just found about Vertigo this morning.
Yeah, this morning. Yeah. So
I happened to just be scrolling through looking to see if they had announced it. I thought I saw it. Maybe I was wrong.
No, I think he said that. So he had put a tweet out earlier. He said, Matt was talking to me the entire way through. Bummed I couldn't make this happen. One of the matches I was looking forward to the most. We'll make sure this happens eventually. Replacement announced soon.
Yeah. Here it is. Replacing Matt will be Andy Brown.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Where was this? I didn't see this.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
It is on Tony Deppen's tweet from an hour ago.
Well,
it's a bummer. I mean, this matchup will not be happening. I would make a new graphic for the new match, but I don't have the time or energy right now. Replacing that will be up Andy Brown.
Okay, so well, I'm not sure who Andy Brown is, so can you enlighten me?
No.
Eric, can you enlighten
us? I'm not familiar. I just happened to see the tweet.
Eric, can you enlighten us?
I'm quasi familiar with him, but I don't know a ton about like the backstory or his character and stuff like that. I've just seen him wrestle, and he is very, very good. But from like wrestling, if we're still doing picks, like I think that I'm familiar enough with him that I can make a pick here. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, he only just found out that he's wrestling Myron Reed mm-hmm. today. Everybody else on the show has had weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to prepare. Myron Reed is on fire everywhere he works. Yep. He's one of the best lightweights out there. And you can't go into a match against a guy like Myron Reed with absolutely no preparation and think you're going to come out with a victory. Sorry, that's not how the wrestling works.
Okay.
I will say this though, Eric, and you don't know this, so this is news to you. He's actually also in a scramble with Myron Reed earlier in the weekend.
Oh, okay.
So he was preparing to be in another match with Myron Reed at another point in the weekend and happened to be watching his highlight video, which obviously highlight videos are not the same as watching a full match.
Right.
He seems to be extremely talented and extremely hard hitting. This should be a very exciting match. I'm not comfortable making a pick because I'm not familiar enough, but I am just from having watched the highlight film. And look, obviously knowing Myron Reed, I'm really excited to see this match. Look, it's not Vertigo. I was psyched for Vertigo to have the opportunity. Can't wait for my friend to get the opportunity next year because that's a dude that will shine when given that opportunity. But I think that match, while it won't be the same, it will still be a good quality match.
Oof. Well, yeah, and let's give him a lot of credit too, because we like, especially being a last minute fill in. He's probably going to come into this show with more to prove than a lot of other guys because he wasn't even on the original booking list. Correct. So I'm sure that's going to put a little chip on his shoulder coming in and give him something to prove to everybody. So, like, I'm really, really looking forward to the match, but regardless, I still have to give it to Myron.
Awesome, yeah. Reed is oof, he's great. Yeah, I'm just like scrolling through his Twitter. This is what I like. I like finding new wrestlers that I didn't know. So I see that he's working GCW, like you said, and then he's working Violence and Suffering as well. By the end of the weekend, we will, whoever doesn't know, including myself, will definitely learn more about him. So I'm looking forward to that. So, oof. But this whole card is stacked. Like I said, a lot of favorite people here. This is probably like the most anticipated show that I'm looking forward to because of the fact that my heart's so close to a lot of you guys. And of course, like, I wish you guys the best. Don't get hurt because I'm not down there. I don't have my Queen of the Indies med kit with me. I have to say that. So, but yeah, please donate. Let's see, what are we at anyway right now? Let me sneak and look. Okay, so we're at
like an hour and a half.
No, I meant the to raise the goal, 1733. Yeah, so guys, please donate, share it. Let's get some donations in. Let's get these guys paid. Make sure you watch it on IWTV this Saturday at noon. What else you guys got for me?
Well, I mean, if you're down in Tampa, tickets are still available if you want to go to the show live as well. Of course, that's going to help us out too. Those are the three ways that you can help: is the GoFundMe, is watching on IWTV, and buying a live ticket to the show itself. And then just a quick shout out, because I do have one other booking that weekend, actually taking place right after Beer House during the Showcase of the Independents, will be Beyond Wrestling Time Capsule, where the owner of the company, Drew Cordero, is bringing in a lot of names from Beyond Wrestling's past, guys that helped build the company into the juggernaut that it is today. And I will be wrestling Dan Barry, somebody who I wrestled in his first ever Beyond Wrestling match almost 10 years ago. And between the two of us, 40 plus years of in-ring experience, probably the most experience that's going to be taking place in a wrestling ring for this whole week. And he kind of just pissed me off today, but I'm not going to get into it. too much, but he said some not so nice things, and I thought that me and Dan Barry had a better relationship than that going into this show. So I'm kind of like checked out from like love and respect into like I don't give a shit about you or your health, and I'm gonna beat the shit out of you when we share the ring. But I digress a little bit. But if you want to see two guys that aren't too thrilled with one another wrestling in a match, that is what you will see that day. But I mean, we also got like Ricky Shane Page is on the show. We got Davey Vague on the show. Like it's gonna be a really good event. And it's the same thing. It's under the banner of IWTV and Showcase of the Independents. You can watch it on IWTV or you can get tickets to that live as well. And then, Tiffany, I'm going to see you next week.
Yes.
At UWA Elite, your first UWA Elite show.
Yes.
I'm really happy. For anyone that felt like they had a place in another promotion, that they felt like family, I would say that UWA Elite is the closest you're going to get to that kind of feeling. We're very welcoming. We're very open. It's very family friendly, and we're all about just putting on a good show and having a good time. So for anyone out there that feels like a nomad in indie wrestling, that feels like you don't have a live show that you go to and feel comfortable, UWA Elite on April 17th in South River, New Jersey is definitely one to check out as well. Awesome. So that's all I have to promote for me personally. I'm also going to do my absolute best to get a big cartel store up before I head to Tampa. So for anyone that wants to support, dude, I have all of the merch. Rob's wearing my sweet Eric Corvus Matt Mechanic t-shirt.
So comfy. So comfy.
I also have a t-shirt that says Eric Corvus is a tool if you're one of the people that don't like me. I figure I would have a t-shirt for you too. But that's, I mean, I'm gonna have tons of merch. If you see me wrestling this weekend and you've never seen me wrestle before, and you like what you see, and anybody out there wants to support me individually, I will do my best to have a storefront up and running by the time I'm in Tampa, and any kind of support would be very, very appreciated. As far as social media, I'm the easiest person to find. I'm at Eric Corvus on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. And for anybody that wants to reach out to me individually, my email account is callmecorvus@gmail.com. If you ever just want to chat, talk to shit, or, you know, fly me out to your event so I can beat up your best wrestlers.
I love it. Chris, go plug all your stuff.
You can follow me at capo_DDT. You can follow our show at DDT Archives on both Twitter and Instagram. You can buy our merch at What a Maneuver. Yes, we actually do have a What a Maneuver store. Not sure why they let us open one, but we have one, and we have some cool stuff over there. You know, throw us a follow. We have two different shows. We have a weekly show, which is our top shelf show, where we talk best of indie wrestling, and we mix in some sports and pop culture stuff in there. And then we do our indie lounge stuff, which we drop an indie interview. We did 114 in our first 11 months. We are going to slow down a little so we do not burn ourselves out, because apparently when you do 114 interviews in 11 months, you burn yourself out. So yeah, we're killing it over there, but definitely throw us a follow. We love interacting with people.
Absolutely. Rob's all about the shameless promo, Rob. Let's go.
Yeah, you know I'm all about it. Guys, real quick, first and foremost, hit that link, donate $1, $5, whatever you got. I'm looking around, see what I got here. I will randomly give away a Ryan T signed 8x10. He gave me some of these for some good causes. So if someone donated, you know, I'll give this one away randomly to someone who donates right now to the cause. Continental US shipping only, please. So please, guys, donate most importantly. But as for the shameless promo, check out the Bob Culture Podcast on Apple Podcasts, YouTube. We're streaming on MobFi TV right now. We've had some great guests. Here come the name drops. Tiff, you know I'm all about it, including the likes of Jake the Snake Roberts. We have had Jim Ross. We've had Tommy Dreamer. We have had Road Warrior Animal on the show. We've even had a Ghostbuster, Mr. Ernie Hudson himself, Velvet Sky Summer Rae. One Mr. Eric Corvus has been on the show in one of my favorite interviews, and that's not just a plug right there, so check that one out. We recently had Truly Blessed AW
dark competitor, Mr. Casey Navarro, one of our favorites of all time. And today we have Riley Shepard and Vicious Vicky for a pre-match showdown. They also have an event April 17th. Titan Championship Wrestling presents Ignition in Toms River, New Jersey. It's an outdoor socially distance event. Get your tickets now. Thank you guys for having me. Oh, and t-shirts, tpublic.com. That's enough shameless promo. Thank you guys so much.
Rob, I actually have a question for you.
I'm honored.
Really quick before we wrap it up. So in June, UWA Elite is having an outdoor show. It's their 20th anniversary. And I think for a 20th anniversary show, I think having some drums playing during my entrance might be kind of fun. So if you wouldn't mind shooting me a message, I could give you that date and we could see if we can make that happen so we could recreate one of the coolest moments that you and my experience in wrestling, but can't do much with the footage at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. Hitting me right here, man. Yeah, dude, that would be awesome. That was a cool moment, regardless of circumstances, man. Everything's kind of tainted right now, which sucks. But that was a cool moment. That was an honor, man. And for you, man, anytime, I'm there.
Awesome.
Oh, I love it. I love it. See, this is why we all connect together. I just like, oh, I'm in my feels right now. No, I love it. I love it. You guys are awesome. But again, guys, be loud on Twitter, social, donate, do all that fun stuff. Make sure you watch the show. Make sure you use that hashtag BearHaas for Saturday. Make sure you tweet. Be loud on social. It helps the wrestlers as well. So again, I'm so stoked for this. Good luck to all you guys. Be safe, all that fun stuff. And yeah, I guess that's where we're going to end. We'll talk to you soon. Again, I'm your host as always, the EVP Giggles, the Heartbreak Chick, the Queen of the Indies. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.